You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that, little critter told me down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty, beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide. Papa's going out of sight, even if it takes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner, cause I
good morning, fishing fans, and happy new year. This is Captain Debbie Hansen welcoming you to another edition of Real Talk Radio on 98.1 FM and 770 AM here in Southwest Florida. You can also listen to us live from anywhere this morning at ESPNSWFL.com or by downloading the ESPN Southwest Florida app. It is producer Rick Church behind the glass this morning, and I have here in the studio as my guest co-host, Captain Jim Fortman, up from the 10,000 Islands. What's going on over there, Cap?
Oh, good morning, and Happy New Year to everybody out there. And just enjoying my tea over here, letting the coffee kick in.
Yeah, and, so you went for the double out, right? Whammy of caffeine this morning, yep. Jim. You had to have the coffee and the tea, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so you're going to be good and wired here for the show. I love it.
So if I start rambling.
Oh, you don't do that normally?
Yeah. And glad to be here in the studio. If anybody
in the nice, warm studio. Yep. And, it was a little brisk out there this morning.
Oh, it was a lot brisk. It was.
I had my puffer vest on.
Well, I don't normally wear this Columbia sweater. it was a little cold.
Yeah, you're kind of layered up. Yeah, a little bit more than usual.
Got the truck AC set to 78
But let's see,
degrees.
Do you still have your flip-flops on?
I do. I'm sorry you're not getting the Florida out of me.
So you had a good Christmas. You had a good New Year.
Yep, we had a Christmas. I got a Christmas. I got a week before the Christmas story to shout out.
Oh, okay.
We have a chance. And,
all right, well, we'll have to touch on that. Yeah, everybody made it through the big chill, hopefully, out there.
I tell you what, the pressure was on.
So, yeah, you had a couple of challenging trips right around Christmas time.
I can honestly admit I had one trip, and I never get skunked. Thank you, Alberto. I'm thinking of you on this one, but we had one day I was shut out, and not even a
bite.
Catfish bite. I mean, yeah. I was looking for a catfish, and it was just But then, you know, the water is 54 degrees.
So, yeah.
And it was it was 55 when we pulled off in the afternoon by about 5 o'clock. And I'm like, well, went up a whole degree. So,
you're praying for the sun to warm up the water.
Oh,
you're finding that dark bottom, you can do.
I'm looking for manatees and I'm looking for
is there life out there? Anything, something.
Yeah, the birds weren't even flying around. It was like, wow.
The birds were all like, what the heck is going on?
And I tell you what, Tuesday when it finally warmed up, it was like everybody was around. And by Wednesday, the dolphins were jumping in joy. So it was quite scenic. By time the water hit 62 degrees, I was like, wow. Like you talk about a light switch down there.
Yeah, yeah.
It was quite fascinating.
Yeah, well, I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and got lots of fantastic fishing-related gifts. If so, you got to send us a text. Let us know what you got. Let us know if you've got any fishing New Year's resolutions. Text line is open this morning, 239-337-3776. And we're coming to you live from Stan and Haney Boulevard in downtown Estero, Florida. Jim and I will be live on air this morning until 10 a.m. If you're not able to stay tuned for the entire show, or you want to go back and catch up on previous shows from 2022, you can just head on over to the Real Talk podcast page, and that's at ESPNSWFL.com. Hopefully we'll be getting some updated fishing reports from the crew calling in this morning. And Jim, I know we're going to talk a little bit about some of the artificials people should be using right now for redfish and trout in the 10,000 Islands. We're going to be talking a little bit about fishing winners, negative low tides, and we're going to talk about what to use and the types of areas to focus on for sheep's head, black drum, and pompano, which you've had some success with over the past couple of weeks, Jim.
The sheepheads definitely came in herds.
Yeah, yeah. I heard that in Estero Bay, too. So hopefully some of the guys will call in with the reports. And then in addition to my conversation with Jim, we'll be talking to Dave Westra at 8 a.m., Captain Steve at 9 with the tournament and event rundown. We'll, of course, have useless information at 9:15. And we'll be giving away that $50 gift card to Sportsman's Wholesale during Name That Species Trivia in the 9 a.m. hour. So much going on for our first episode of Real Talk for 2023. So stay tuned. And then real quick, I also want to mention over the next couple of weeks, we've got some exciting guests in the studio. Captain Rob Modis is going to be taking over for me next Saturday.
What?
Yes, because I have to go over to Fort Lauderdale and work on a project.
Well, wait, so you're going over to Fort Lauderdale and he's coming over here. So.
Well, he's down in the Keys now. But,
yeah, I know.
But yeah, we're kind of doing the switcheroo. So yeah, he'll be here. And then the following Saturday, I've got author Michael Brigley on the studio. He is working on a book on fishing the Everglades. And so he's going to be here to talk about some of the research he's been doing on freshwater exotic species and some of the recent fishing adventures that he's had with some pretty legendary anglers in the Everglades. So looking forward to that. And we're actually going to head straight on over to line one because Nick Davis with 239 Flies is standing by, so let's hear what Nick has to say and how things are in the world of 239 Flies. What's going on, Nick?
Captain Debbie, Captain Jim, top of the morning to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What is going on? How are things at 239 Flies?
Fully caffeinated and running on all cylinders. Oh, my goodness. It's, you know, this whole fly fishing thing, you know, people are still about it in 2023. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so you guys have been busy at the shop. Lots of people coming in, lots of store traffic.
It has. You know, it's I want to say surprisingly, but you know, I know you've toured our local beaches, and they're not quite as full as they've been this time of year as years past. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
You know, the roads are still crowded, and there's still people here, so. They're fly fishing somewhere. Where they are, I'm not quite 100% sure, but they're here and they're doing it. So, yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, well, I've had a few out on the boat with me on the freshwater side, so that's good.
I've seen a lot in the skinny water. I know what they're doing.
that water down by you, Jim, should be getting real skinny and real clear real soon. When you said the sheep's head were moving in,
I hit bottom
on myself. It's, you know, I always remember we got some new size 8 Flexo crabs in black for those 10,000 Island sheep's head. Like, that's the money fly right there.
There you go. Yeah, so Nick, give us the scoop. Any reports coming in from the guides that are running out of the shop?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. You know, Drew's been on redfish and snook all week. Pat's been on redfish and snook all week. And then Chris and David, also a little north of here, been fishing, you know, Pine Island and Estero Bay area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same story, you know, clear water and plenty of redfish around. It's been fairly good. You know, boat traffic is still fairly light because the debris in the Estero Bay and Pine Island area is still pretty heavy.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're out there, please be careful. Please slow down just because it is a zone that you can run in. And if you haven't been in it yet, maybe just, you know, dial it down, take it a little easy.
Right. Might be a good idea.
Maybe idle it, check it out, you know, before you launch your lower unit into something that you didn't see, didn't know was there. But
yeah,
nonetheless, it's been pretty good. It's been very good, actually. So,
well, good. That's great to hear. I heard some of the fishing up by Pineland has been really, really good lately. So you said the guys have been fishing up that way and have had quite a bit of success over the past couple of weeks.
You know, I know that, you know, well, I don't know this because for the firsthand, for at least the last 5 or 6 years, because, you know, until Jimbo got in there and just, you know, did everything that I could possibly ever dream that a general manager and big brother could do. I've always been glued to the shop and unable to fish this time of year. So it's been kind of nice being able to slide out every once in a while with the guides. But I know that this time of year, a little further north of here, you know, the Pineland area, you know, if we get a couple of warm days in a row, you know, the tarpon show up. And, I'm kind of hoping we get, you know, Chris was telling me like, hey, yo, listen, if we get like 6 or 7 days in a row of warm weather, you know, make sure you give me one of them because it's about to be fire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, then, I don't know about
cold snap might set them back.
Yeah, I was just gonna say this morning, but
yeah, I was just thinking. I was like, wow, the tarpon showed up in my area, and right around New Year's Day, and you had about 4 or 5 days to get on them, and then
then it's done, gone and over with.
Yeah. Well, good deal, Nick. What else is going on in the new year at the shop? Any tying events coming up?
Yeah, we got a full schedule for January. We've got a quarterly casting clinic with Joe Mahler on the 21st. That's going to be a Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning. Not in the evening, like I like to put on the website, starting at 11 p.m. We are not doing a nighttime fly casting clinic with Joe Mahler. It's very much in the daytime. That's on the website, and I've got it up on social media channels as well.
Good deal.
And then we're also doing our first fly tying night of the year on Wednesday the 25th, and that is at 7 p.m. And that is that's also going to be a good time.
Got it.
So we're actually going to tie this might be the first time in 239 Flies history that I know what flies we're tying, and I already have the material set aside in over 2 weeks in advance. Like, that's never happened. That level of preparation is something that could not be more foreign to our entity.
Getting extra organized in the new year. I like it.
I can't say it's going to last past January, but hey, we're going to enjoy it in January while we've got it. So I've got a new fly tying video, a couple new fly tying videos out. Pat came over last week, and we cranked out the flies that we took down to Campeche and fished for baby tarpon down there. Cool little baby tarpon flies. Called it the Casa Clarita Crusher, and I've got that up on the website right now as well. So if you want to dodge the cold and stay inside and tie flies this evening, there's some new stuff there for you.
Yeah, might be a good night to do that. Because those
Turn
of us
the
who,
place, you know, like
yeah, get out the vice, and there you go. Yeah. That's it. All right. Well, thanks for checking in, Nick. It was good to hear from you. Happy New Year, my friend. We'll let you go. You have a great rest of the weekend. We'll catch up with you, or Rob will actually catch up with you next Saturday.
I'm actually going to be in there with him all Saturday long next Saturday.
Oh boy!
I made it happen last night. So, yep, a whole 3 hours of fully caffeinated me. I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Wow!
We're going to play with it. So,
I wish I could listen. That's going to be a great show. Good deal. All right. Well, have fun in the studio with Rob next Saturday, then, and we'll catch up with you, or I'll catch up with you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Take care, boys. Nick. Okay. Bye bye.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye. That is Nick Davis calling in with 239 Flies. We're going to actually head over to line two because we've got Barry Kuda standing by. Hey, Barry, how's it going? Happy New Year.
Good morning. Thank you. You too.
Yeah.
I had a great New Year with my grandkids in Tucson. It was awesome.
Nice.
Great. Well, glad to hear that. Glad you got away for a little rest and relaxation and got to spend some time with the grandkids.
Oh, I needed it. It was so stressful. December's always a tough month anyway. Oh, and by the way, good morning, Captain Jim.
Hey, good morning.
I'm going to the Fort Myers Boat Show tomorrow. Still looking for my boat. Got to get my boat so I can get back out on the water and get my charters going again.
Yeah, well, that's a good place to do it.
Yeah. I've got a line on some good used boats, too, but I need to see everything that's available before I can decide. But I'm ready to pull the trigger and get back on the water.
I'm sure you are. Have you had a chance to do any fishing from shore, any land-based fishing? Or are you just really focusing on finding that new boat?
I did some freshwater from shore with no luck. I did catch one redfish from the neighbor's dock a few weeks ago. But a friend took me out fishing in Naples Bay, and we caught a bunch of nice snook. It was a lot of fun. And then I had to decline an invitation to go offshore today. It killed me. But I got stuff I have to do today. I wasn't able to get away, but my buddy, Captain Lowell Schoenfeld, said, hey, we're going offshore. You want to go? I said, oh, God, I want to go. I got a pass on this one.
Yeah. Well, get her done, and it's good to hear from you, Barry.
Keep in mind, it is a full moon out there.
I missed you being gone to Tucson for 10 days, but I'm back.
Well, hey, every once in a while, like I said, you need to have a break, so it's good that you had a change of scenery and got to spend time with the family.
It was awesome.
That's important.
So cool.
Well, good deal. Anything else, Newberry?
I think that covers it. Well, I'm swamped at the store. Thank God the store is undamaged. I lost everything else, but the store is undamaged, and I'm swamped.
Well, that's good news. That is.
You need that income stream.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good to hear you're hanging in there, and keep us posted on the boat situation.
I will let you know.
Let us know when you find your new pride and joy.
Yes, indeed. The new magic fishing machine.
There you go.
The new dream catcher.
Yep.
All right, Barry. You take care. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you soon.
Take it easy, baby.
Love you guys. Be well.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. That is Captain Barry Cuda calling in. All right, Jim. So let's just dive into it here this morning. First, give us the report. Let us know.
The water's cold. I'm not diving into that at all.
Figuratively. So yeah, give us the report. How has fishing been over the past week, with the exception of yesterday when we had this cold weather blow right through?
Yeah, I did not get out yesterday. But this week was we're finding some solid numbers in sea trout. The pompano have not made it back in. They hopefully next week they're going to start coming back in like they were before Christmas.
Yeah.
The bite was on fire.
Literally
the week before Christmas. Mm-hmm. It was actually had a client that got about almost a 22-inch pompano.
And that's nice.
That is a huge pompano. By now the sea trout have started moving back in. The redfish have been, kind of all over the place. They're still a little scattered from where they were. The snook started coming back out of their haunts, so we've actually been catching some snook as well. But the sea trout bite has been just extraordinary. If you're into, I want to catch a fish every cast. There's a couple of spots out there where this week where we got into them and we sat there for about an hour and a half. Just
one right after
the
other.
Yeah, just covering me with slime.
Were you fishing shrimp or were you fishing artificials?
Artificials.
Nice.
Yeah, the bite has been artificials and shrimp. They're not eating meat. They've been on a crustacean diet. There has been a lot of crabs that I've noticed swimming around. We were out actually at one of these trout spots, and we had a couple of crabs that literally just swam right on by us. So that was actually very good to see. But the trout, they're not giants right now. They're in that,
yeah, what size are you seeing
yeah,
on
they're,
average?
They're in that 13 to 15-inch range.
Okay.
So there are a couple of keepers.
But you're seeing good numbers, and it's great action.
We're catching, we hit these spots, and you're catching about 40 fish.
That's great.
And it happens on two tides.
That's fun family fishing, for sure.
The bite has been when the tides are going in the same direction. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if they're coming or going. That's how the bite's been. So
roughly how many feet of water are you finding those trout?
We're finding them about 3 to 5 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been the magic. The other magic has been wherever you find a drop off, where, if you got a ledge where it goes from 3 to 5, or I've got a couple spots that are.
They've been right on that depth change there.
Yeah. Where anywhere where it goes from 2 to 3 feet down to a drop.
Yep.
So, and they've been hanging out right there, and they're basically feeding on anything that comes off of a shoreline.
And which artificials did you say are working best for you? Soft plastic, artificial
shrimp? I'm using soft plastic. DOA is a good one.
Yeah.
The magic one has been the Wise Guys paddle tail, in the 3.5-inch range. They're not hitting anything large. So the 3.5-inch paddle, every color has really been working.
Really? So they haven't been keyed in on darker or lighter?
It just goes with the water color. If you're in an area where the water's crystal clear, you want to use a little bit
lighter. The lighter natural colors.
Yeah. And if you're in the water, it's a little darker. Obviously, you want to use a darker color.
Mm-hmm.
But there hasn't been. I mean, I even pulled out my purple and pink. The one I was using heavy last year that I literally was like, where can I find some more of these? that my buddy Justin Napier turned me on to. Those were even just, like I said, it just didn't matter. Just they were, you know, quick as you can get the bait, you know, bait out there, you were getting into them.
Yeah. So is the water overall, for the most part, down in your area, been pretty clean and clear?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Until Wednesday evening when that wind picked up.
Yeah.
And Thursday, the wind picked up. I know Fakahatchee Bay, actually, we were shooting across there, found out exactly how shallow my boat can go. Didn't come to a complete stop.
Well, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get into negative tides and how to fish them this morning.
And I've been through that area several times, and I was actually even shocked to myself. I was like, I think I hit a stingray or something, but and there are some big stingrays around right now that they're coming in with the crabs because they're a crustacean eater.
And sometimes it can pay to cast behind those stingrays.
Yes, and it can. Not in a foot and a half of water, though. The Fakahatchee Bay, literally you could see the dirty water coming into Fakahatchee Union Bay. So the true trick has actually been down south. Wherever you find clean water, the fish are there.
Good tip.
It's one of those.
That's
wind's
it.
Blowing on one side of the island, go to the other side of the island.
Yep. So, all right, well, we're going to head off to our very first break of the morning. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
They paid paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? It'd be a paradise, put up a fucking line.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app. She loves the groove.
She loves a lot of things. Good morning, good morning. Happy New Year. Welcome back to Real Talk. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Jim Fortman, up from the 10,000 Islands. How's it going, Cap?
I think we have the ears fixed now.
Oh, yeah. We had a minor little headphone glitch.
I just needed a...
Jim had to, like, sit perfectly still in his seat and could not move. Otherwise, he couldn't hear.
Yep. All I needed to do was use a little duct tape.
Duct tape fixes everything, literally. Phone lines are open. Go ahead and give us a call, 239-337-ESPN. You can also send us a text at that same number, 239-337-3776. Let us know if you've been out there on the water over the past couple of weeks. Looking forward to the updates. And we are going to head right on over to line one because we've got Captain Rob Moody standing by. Hey, Rob. Good morning.
How are you?
We're doing good. A little chilly. A little chilly up here in these parts.
Oh, really?
It was like 52 degrees this morning when I drove to the studio.
That's chilly. That's definitely yeah. chilly. I think we're 65 or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, just rub it in.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
thanks, Keys guy.
Thanks, Keys dude.
It's a different world when you're surrounded by 74 degree water. So
true.
No matter what the air temperature does, if you have the slightest little breeze, then the water takes care of warming it up. So that's
What was the coolest it got down there the week of Christmas when we were in the upper 30s here?
Oh, it was in the 40s. I think it was 46 to 48. We turned the heat on, and that's been, you know, we relented after, I guess, about day three. I got up and the inside temp on the, you know, the thermostat said 63, and I said, okay, that's enough of this crap.
And I wonder how often the heat in your new Keys house has actually been turned on and used.
But, well, the way it smelled when we first turned it on, I'd say never.
Burnt toast.
What's the that funky smell. Oh, it's the heat. Great.
I'm actually surprised you had a heater down there.
I know,
you
know, right?
I was too, and it took a while to get it to 68. So it's not, I don't think it was a conventional, you know, wire burning kind of, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I think it's some sort of a converter of some. Anyway, it took a while, and it was still cold. The thing is, everything and all the floors in this house, up and down, are tile. They're made to look like wood. They're fake, but they're actually tile. And once tile gets cold, man, it just stays that way.
So oh yeah.
I haven't worn shoes in a house in ages, and
until that week.
Yeah.
And then you're like, "Where's my slippers?
Where are my socks at?"
Shoes. I mean, everywhere I went, I had my shoes on. It was ridiculous. That was a major event when we got to the point where we took the jeans off and put shorts on, and then finally took the shoes off inside. Okay, winter's over. Good thing.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, that moment where you're like, "Do I still own any socks? If you know, so, where would they be?"
I thought about that, and then I thought I'll probably slip and kill myself, so I'll just put the flip flops on and insulate me from the tile. So
yeah, smart.
But it was pretty crazy, and it affected the fishing more than I thought it would. I went out shortly. Well, I went out the week after that.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, the Christmas week fishing. I went out one day and I struggled. I think, you know, two cudas and one little snapper when normally you can catch dozens of fish without trying in Largo Sound. So that was really weird. And I didn't think it would affect that. Something else I learned I just didn't really think much about. Full moon was this week. I went fishing on Thursday. Yeah, I went fishing on Thursday, and the high tide was low. And I know that happens in Estero and all the other places. All that, like in the winter, our tides were always lower than they were in the summertime. And it just never occurred to me it happened here. So the water was crazy low, but I caught a lot of fish. Caught a lot of fish on Thursday, so it was good. So things are back to normal.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, focusing in on some of those deeper troughs and holes and
it was
nooks and crannies
coming off the mangrove and just moving out a little bit to right. Of course, our water's clear, so you can see the drop off.
Yeah.
And I just went out and worked the drop offs and found them there. The cudas were, God, they were out of control. I mean, just out of control. It was like you couldn't catch anything else but barracuda on Thursday. They were partying.
Yeah, so there's really nothing you can do to deter those guys from chasing down your lures, huh?
No, if you're artificial or fly user, no. You're going to get them.
They're just,
no matter what.
You're going to get them.
If you soak bait up against the mangroves, you know, if you soak a little shrimp or something, then you're more likely to get the snapper out of there. And the cudas, I don't know, it's really weird. You would think the cudas would cruise those mangrove lines a little closer, but they really don't. They stay off about, 15 yards or so, you know, just off of the mangrove. You guaranteed. When you're reeling back something that you've worked the mangroves with and you didn't get the snook you're looking for, more than halfway back, you get nailed by a cuda. And that's pretty much how it works.
And how many flies have you lost so far?
Oh, geez. you wouldn't believe that. That between that and gulp, oh, my God. I'm keeping gulp in business. It's ridiculous.
Hey, Rob, number two wire works really well.
Yeah, I know. But then, see, if I do that, I'm not going to get
but
the
then he's not,
snapper or
yeah,
snook.
Yeah.
That's that leader problem. It's like, I know that in the back of my mind. Just put wire on. But then all I'm going to get are cudas.
Right, which is not what you want.
Well, they're kind of, you know, when you start finding on the drop-off, when you find the 3 to 4 footers, they're a blast. I'm not going to complain about that at all. Until they get close to the kayak and you're like, now how am I going to get the damn hook out of their mouth?
Right. Yeah. Or until you've caught like 5 of them and you're like, all right, that's enough.
try 9. Try 9 the other day. 9
and
of
you
them.
Get, like, you get that hook out very carefully.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that's number 9 of the big. I don't know how many little ones I got. The little ones are like a foot long and they just are. You know how needlefish are in the West Coast waters? Like that. They're like needlefish. They're just a nuisance. And but the big ones, it was 9. I was on number 9. I thought, okay, this has got to stop.
Enough already, cudas.
Yeah. But, enough. You know, big enough to turn the kayak around and big enough to make really nice runs, just so you can hear the drag scream. And, you know, you can't really complain about it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's all good.
Well, it sounds like next Saturday the wheels could potentially come off in the studio here.
Do you hear who I asked to host?
I heard. I wish I could tune in.
I had to bother him for a couple few weeks, you know. Can you do it? Can you? And I never heard from him, so I sent a note to Alex, and I said, Alex, I may need to have you call. He goes, I can't. So Alex has got something going on. So Nick got back to me just a few days ago and said, I can do it. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a party.
Tune in next Saturday, everybody.
I remember my first time with him on the radio, and it was just, that was, you know, 19. He had to have had 19 cups of coffee. I'm pretty sure he always sounds like he's had 19
cups of coffee.
I'm pretty sure that's the way Nick is. He's just, you know,
that's just Nick.
You know, it's 7 o'clock at night.
We have a lot to talk about. We have a lot in common. Our fishing is the same. We really enjoy getting out there and doing the wild stuff. You know, I love the way he traveled off and, you know, went looking for fish down in what I call South America. You know. Central, actually, but it's really fun, and I'm looking forward to it. I know he loves the Keys too, so Janelle and I have obviously made this a home. We are. I can't say I've been any happier. It's been really, really great. I mean, I love guiding. I miss guiding terribly, but this has really been a way to kind of fix that you know, I want to go fishing every day kind of thing. I really do. I try to find the time as much as possible to get out there, so it's kind of neat.
Well, good. You deserve it. I'm glad you're enjoying your time down there. And are you going to get any fishing in when you come up here? Are you going to stay for the weekend, or are you just going to come up and do the show and head back?
No, I'm going to come up, spend the night before at a hotel near the radio station, and buzz in and buzz out. Yeah, no. I kind of got to go right back again on the 19th. I've got my cancer checkup appointment there, so it's kind of like I'll be bouncing up and down the highway for a couple of days.
You're going to be on the road quite a bit.
Yeah, and it kills my fishing. The driving wears me out, and I'm like, I don't want to sit in a kayak for 4 hours. So, you know, like, but we're going down to Marathon today. There's a Celtic festival down there, so we're going to go do bagpipes and dancing and all that crazy stuff.
Cool.
And yes, there's Scots in the Keys. Somebody else asked me, there's Scots in the Keys? I go, yeah, there's a bunch of them. So.
Yeah, I hope they're wearing their sunscreen.
You know, it's beautiful. We have had the most gorgeous weather for the last 3, 4, 5 days. It's just been unbelievable. I finally had to water plants. You know, I mean, no rain, just sunny, nice light breeze, not blowing your hair all around. It's been really great, so I can't complain. What's your subject that I heard something about low water or something? What do you guys?
We're going to talk about what to know when fishing winter's negative low tides. We're going to touch on pompano, sheep's head, black drum, all the wintertime species.
Yeah, the fun stuff. Okay,
yeah.
Here's a tip for low water.
Yeah,
low
give
water.
It to us. Let's hear it.
Let's see. Don't go where you see birds standing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mine's even weirder because I see more of this. Don't go where you see little stalks of brand new mangroves sticking up out of the water.
Yeah.
That's very common here. And then something I learned, travel where the crab pots are, in inshore waters. When the crabbers put their pots in the water, those pots are almost 2 feet by 2 feet. So if they've made a line of them, then that's probably a natural channel. So,
yeah. Do not do that in my area, by the way.
No, I know.
They will set those pots up in a foot and a half of water.
Yeah, well, they'll also do it right next to the oyster bars, too.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, but
the blue crabbers down there are notorious for doing that kind of thing.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, kayak fishing, the kind of fishing that you've been doing down there in the Keys, is the perfect kind of fishing to do on those low winter negative low tides.
It's magical. I'll use that word. It's magical. I love it. I've added a little Bixby motor to the back. It's a little electric motor from a company out in California. The thing is fabulous.
That is so cheating.
Well, no, it's not cheating. I pedal everywhere. I pedal for all my fishing because the motor's noisy. I don't care for the noise. And the water I go in is less than a foot deep. And so I just love fishing and fishing and going farther now, knowing that I can flip that little thing on and go home.
It's nice if you're going against the wind on the way home and you don't have to.
I mean, just anytime I'm out, you know, sometimes I'm going to go 4 miles or so. So that's an 8 mile round trip, and that's a pain in the butt paddling all the way back. And so it's nice to be able to turn that thing on and just hit a button and kick back, get my Gatorade out, get some crackers out, just, you know, ease on home. And
Rob turns on the trolling motor and gets out the charcuterie.
You know, what I might do next time, I'm thinking about taking some hard baits out there, some Usuri's or something like that, and troll one on the way back. Turn that little motor on, flip it out back, see what happens out in the
middle.
There
you go.
Once again, number two wire.
Yeah.
You will not get that lure back.
And tie the rod down with something, right?
Yeah.
Got it.
There's a lot. I know the area that you're in, and Largo has a lot of kudos.
Yeah. All right, we got 1 minute, Rob, and then we got to head off to another break.
I got a question for Rob. Have you been up to the north end of or the south end of Flamingo yet?
Oh yeah.
How's the trout fishing doing up there? Are they getting some?
It's bad. It's been bad for a long time. Both the guides I went out with, I even asked, but even down around Rabbit Key Channel, and Rabbit Key Flats, where most people, and that's no secret I'm giving away here. That's a huge, huge grass flat off of Rabbit Key, and nothing. You know, you might get a ladyfish, but that was a go-to spot when Janelle and I had the boat there in the 90s. If we wanted a trout dinner, we just go to Rabbit Key. But that's not the case anymore. But what I will say is you would not believe the size of the snook around the point in the bay. My God, it's all you can do to stay in the slot and not be over. That's how big they are.
Well,
that's not
a bad trade-off, but it makes you wonder what's going on. Why aren't those trout there, though?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's like they moved. You don't see a whole lot of bait in that area either. And then when you get to where bait is and stuff like that. There is one thing that we hear a lot about down here, and that's sharks. There has been a big, big movement of sharks in this area, and some people are starting to blame that on some of the movement of other fish, that the sharks have come in larger numbers. You know, every time I kayak now, I see four or five sharks. It's not unusual at all to see a black-tipped lemon, something like that, cruise by me. I don't know. I mean, things have really changed. Some for the positive, if you go up to Flamingo, you're going to see a whole bunch of crocodile now. You know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, Janelle and I might see one croc on five trips.
Yeah.
Now we go up, you see nine crocodile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
Yeah, I know that they said the same thing about in my area. That's because I know last year we saw two, which used to never see them in the 10,000 islands, and they're starting.
No, I know. Yeah. It's really crazy. But I mean,
all right.
I look at that as a. I know you got to go.
Yeah, we
got to
go.
All right.
Take it easy, Rob.
Okay, people.
You can talk crocodiles all you want next Saturday.
We'll be telling long stories.
I'm sure you will. Well, thanks for calling in, Rob, and have fun next Saturday. And we'll talk to you soon. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
That is Captain Rob Modis calling in. We're heading off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Captain Bobby, sitting all alone, corner of the bar, just a minding his own. Young tourists are tickling their bones, bones, them funny bones.
Listening to Real Talk Radio online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host Captain Jim Fortman up from the 10,000 Islands. And we're talking about sea trout. We're going to start talking about sheep's head, black drum, pompano, fishing winners, negative low tides, what to use, types of areas to focus on. And Jim, I also wanted to talk a little bit about the redfish fishing down in your area. I know some of the guys who are fishing Estero Bay were saying the redfish fishing was a little challenging for a couple weeks. It seems to have come back this past week. How are things looking down in your area?
It has been challenging.
As the redfish bite goes.
Yeah, the redfish, it has been challenging in our area. They are around, but the since the hurricane, you know, kind of displaced a lot of mud.
Yeah.
So we have, hard bottom. The grass is starting to come back really good, which is why we're seeing a lot of sea trout and a lot of snook, and we're also starting to see a lot of sheephead. Redfish love hanging out around mud. So they're going to go to where the mud is, and unfortunately those areas where the new where the mud has been displaced from the hurricane, you need a boat that floats in about 6 to 8 inches of water. So the guys have been doing really good in the technical skiffs and the 16-foot boats.
Yeah.
They're getting way on up into these creeks where all the mud got pushed in, and they're seeing redfish. For the guys that are running a 24-foot bay skiff, we're looking from a distance in a foot of water going, man,
I wish I could get back in there. So, yeah, well, and what about, I just real quick, I wanted to touch on snook, because obviously the snook were way up in a lot of the rivers and creeks during that cold snap. Did you start to see some of them coming out when we had this weather that got back up into the 80s?
Yeah, they did start coming out. This week it was funny, we actually saw a 40-inch. My customer realized what he did. Which is why we saw it. Actually, he was working his he was using a 3.5-inch paddle tail, and he was working it too fast, and this fish literally followed it almost all the way to the boat. And I said, "Drop it," and he dropped it, and then he did
figure eight. No, that's muskies.
Yeah, he did a Bassmaster hook setup.
Oh,
and he got to see how light 20-pound leader what it takes to snap.
Dang.
And he did two things wrong. And he goes, "What did I do wrong there?" And I go, "Well, you let that snook eat a little bit too long." And I said, and then I go, "I'm surprised you didn't snap my rod with the hooks out." So, that snook literally, put a spin up to us and went back to its haunt. And then right about, maybe about 10 feet down away from where we lost that one, we actually got into some 20s and some 24s, which is about the normal that we see this time of year. We don't see any of the big ones. Like that girl was about 40 inches.
Nice.
So she was a big girl.
Beautiful, beautiful snook.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, and it was really nice to see her after that cold, because we did have a small fish kill down in the glades, any of the areas where the water was super shallow, way back up around 41.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about what you were seeing down there. Because I know on the freshwater side, I'll get into that a little bit too, because I know we've got some questions coming in on the text line about that. But
it wasn't 2009. So, 2009 where we had a massive fish kill.
Mm-hmm.
No, this was more back towards 41. We had a lot of cichlids that were in the water, a lot of Oscars, a lot of Mullanes.
Because the water temperature was down around 55, 56 degrees.
No, it was 54, 55. There's no sugarcoating it. And that is super cold for this area. Mullane cichlids, Oscars, tilapia, peacock bass, they can't handle it. There were a couple of, and that was the majority of the fish that were killed. There were a couple of snook and a couple of tarpon that got caught on the flats where they shouldn't have been in the cold,
So I think it sounds like, and based on what I was seeing, it was primarily those species that got stuck in shallower areas where they weren't able to get down to more, to warmer, more stable water temperatures to ride out that cold snap.
Yeah.
But I know that some of the areas where I was fishing in Naples, there's still plenty of peacock bass.
Yep.
People were still catching them after the cold snap, so don't worry.
Yeah,
still some there.
Yeah, the fish kill, like I said, nothing like 2009, where the canals were just littered. This was a, you're going to see some small pack, areas where the waters pushed them up towards like some of the dikes and whatnot.
Yeah,
and this is a collection from miles of canal system.
Yeah,
so you're going to have some collection. So, but as far as the fish kill, no, we had high water in a lot of the canal system. So there's, don't worry, people. We didn't lose all the peacock bass.
Well, and for some of those exotics, for the tilapia and the Mayan cichlids, it's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad
because
thing.
Because they are running rampant in a lot of the freshwater canal systems and lakes and ponds. So we sort of needed a little bit of a cleaning out as far as that goes.
And it is technically, I've talked to the FWC about this. This is how they, they take care of it. They just hope for a cold front, which we do have every, we have one of these events every, I want to say 10 years, 8 to 10 years, where we have a really strong cold front that comes through. So
I would say something along those lines. Yeah. So, and then the water temperature, this, I know warm Thursday
back up. Yep.
When I was out bass fishing, it was right back up in the mid 70s. So
yeah, it was, just like a light switch. Everything started clicking in. Fish started biting really heavy. Like I said, we've been getting into some 30, 40 fish days where, it's just great. We're seeing some solid numbers. Want to see some more of the pompano come back in, which is probably going to start happening this week. Like I said, the water's been really clear.
Mm-hmm.
I will, to a note, anybody that fishes the outside like I do, if you know where the sandbars are, please don't run through them. The grass is coming back just so beautifully in these areas. The water's crystal clear. If you just, stop for a second and take a look at it and you're in 3 feet of water, you're going to be like just amazed. And I do have a story. I got to get a shout out to this company that, has a motor on the front end of my boat, which I almost, we get into this busy season.
Yeah.
And we rely on certain things on our vessels, which is mainly a trolling motor.
Yeah.
And I had 2 days down and
especially what spot lock in the wind.
Yeah. My trolling motor went down right before Christmas. And it's like the week before Christmas, right. And I'm like, I have 2 days to get this thing fixed. And I picked up the phone, called up Rodan. It's my first year with them. They literally shipped me a part and had it to me the next day. And I was back up on the water with not even missing it. It was literally
awesome.
Just a matter of taking six screws out, unplugging one device, putting it back in. They have literally simplified trolling motors. And I had no idea it was that simple. And it was just a matter of picking up a phone. They dropped it in the mail, shipped it right to me, took that part out, took the old part, shipped it right back to them.
Well, that's great. If they know you're a guide and it's important for you to be out there on the water
apparently
and not
they,
missing those trips.
Yeah, apparently
great.
They do that with everybody. But yeah,
kudos to them for great customer service. All right, we got to head off to another break, heading into the 8 a.m. hour. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, setting me up on my pony.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.